Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Good day, Colorado, and thank you for joining us for the February 26th reading of The Environment. My name is John. Today, we'll share the following main articles from the magazine of the Sierra Club, Trump's Funding Freezes and Clawbacks, Illegal, Stupid, and Dangerous. There is a lot of lawbreaking going on. This was written by Ben Jealous. We'll also share an article from the Nature Conservancy magazine, Chalk Streams Are Ancient and Globally Rare. In Norfolk, England, farmers and community members are trying to save them. This was written by Lucy Kerrigan. And with any remaining time, we'll pick up an article or two from either Sierra or the Nature Conservancy magazine. So back to the first article, written by Ben Jealous, Trump's Funding Freezes and Clawbacks, Illegal, Stupid, Dangerous. There's a lot of lawbreaking going on. Panic, confusion, and anger. That's how Blue-Green Alliance President Jason Walsh described to CNN the state that Environmental Protection Agency grant awardees were left in after having their funding frozen, then unfrozen, then frozen again by the Trump administration. Contracts are going to get broken if this does not stop, and workers are going to get laid off, said Walsh. I did not anticipate how fully brazen they'd be in ignoring the courts. It is brazen for its lawlessness and cruelty, as well as its stupidity. There's a lot of lawbreaking going on, from usurping Congress's constitutional power of the purse to defy court orders. But administration efforts to freeze funding appropriated by Congress and clawback money already obligated under contracts threatens our national credibility. And now, with EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin's attempts to pull back $20 billion in money that has already been awarded under the Inflation Reduction Act's Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, GGRF, we are seeing how the administration's tactics could potentially cost taxpayers more in lawsuit damages than the money they are trying to freeze and claw back. And of course, in that scenario, Americans would lose out on the purpose of the appropriated funds to lower energy costs, revitalize local economies, and address the climate crises. The targeted $20 billion in GGRF money is specifically meant to mobilize financing and private capital into clean energy projects to create jobs. And this comes on the heels of Zeldin's EPA already having illegally frozen funds under contract through the EPA's Solar for All program. Federal judges are saying the money needs to keep flowing. One in Rhode Island last week reaffirmed his temporary restraining order to block Trump's funding freeze and noted the administration was in violation of the order. As a former congressman and litigator, Administrator Zeldin should have at least a basic understanding of the law. And anyone with common sense should realize attempting to claw back already dispersed funds to help us avoid the very worst of the climate crises is as illogical as it is illegal. These investments are lowering costs for families, providing more reliable and resilient energy options in communities across the country, and helping create good jobs. If you were to do a quick scan of this administration's actions and statements over its first 4 weeks in office, you would see a clear list of national priorities it is willing to sacrifice for tax cuts for billionaires, public health, national parks, cancer research, food for starving people, both at home and abroad, the security of our nuclear arsenal, and good jobs for working families, just to name a few. What would also stand out are the lengths to which this administration is willing to go, and the straws at which it is willing to grasp, in its effort to skirt the law and inflict harm on American communities. One of the administration's favorite talking points a few weeks ago was that the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, had, according to President Trump, identified and stopped $50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas. The claim was meant to justify DOGE's government-wide slash-and-burn campaign that had just gotten started with USAID, as well as diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and environmental justice programs. DOGE head and Trump's co-president, Elon Musk, fed the claim into the far right's manufactured outrage machine on his X platform, where it snowballed, reminiscent of the racist lie during the presidential campaign that members of the Haitian immigrant community in Springfield, Ohio, were eating local pets. Trump himself repeated the claim multiple times and even inflated, baselessly, the cost of the supposed condom shipments to $100 million. Of course, there was not a shred of truth to those claims. A former Biden administration official who worked on Gaza and called the claim imaginary and said, "It's a lie. They're making shit up." It turns out that Gaza mentioned in the records found by DOGE was probably in reference to HIV and tuberculosis aid to Gaza province in Mozambique, and there were no massive condom deliveries there or anywhere in the Middle East. Now, in trying to defend his reckless and ideological war on clean energy funding, EPA Administrator Zeldin and others in the Trump administration are playing the same game. Zeldin and the administration have suggested the contracts with EPA grantees and the process by which funds are administered by Citibank through the GGRF were rushed, not properly vetted, and done in some novel and inappropriate way. But Zeeland Hoover, who directed IRA program implementation at the EPA under President Biden, attests that the process and institutions involved were thoroughly vetted and pointed out the government has been using similar arrangements with private banks since the 1800s. And Zeldin's evidence? A supposed sting video by the group Project Veritas, infamous for dishonest smear attacks using highly edited recordings of its targets. Zeldin cited a recording by the group in a bizarre rant he posted to X just last week. Donald Trump and Lee Zeldin should quit skirting the law and defending their actions with outrageous lies, and we should all recognize their actions as the latest evidence that they are willing to sink to any low to do the bidding of their fossil fuel cronies. Switching publications for our next article, we go over to the Nature Conservancy magazine. Chalk streams are ancient and globally rare. In Norfolk, England, farmers and community members are trying to save them. This was written by Lucy Kerrigan, February 5, 2025. Standing in the middle of a grassy, scrubby field, a re-meandering stream settled into the landscape. Glenn Anderson looks a little amazed, as though he can't quite believe it. Just two fields of sugar beet to go, and with the exception of some regeneratively grown black currants, 2,000 acres of what was once arable land in Norfolk, England, will no longer be farmed traditionally. "We've taken the whole farm out," he says, "which has been quite a big, scary step." Anderson is a fifth-generation farmer, so he does not exaggerate when he says this. He is the project lead for a nature recovery initiative called the Wendling Beck Environmental Project. Started in 2020, the project has brought together Anderson and three neighboring farmers who are completely rethinking how to use their land. Through the project, a partnership among the farmers, the Nature Conservancy, Norfolk County Council, Norfolk Rivers Trust, and others, they are exploring ways to make a living off their properties with a focus on restoring biodiversity. Instead of neat and tidy rows of crops like wheat and barley, now meadows, wetlands, and unruly hedges are all you can see for miles around. Already, they are seeing the return of birds, insects, and other fauna. Projects like Wendling Beck address a challenge that is fast becoming a reality for business owners and residents across the county, a diminishing supply of water. Nestled in an eastern corner of England, Norfolk is a low-lying county much loved for its vast coastline, its big skies, and both its natural and human-made beauty. It's home to 25 chalk streams, a globally rare and biodiverse habitat type. However, as the weather becomes increasingly erratic amid a changing climate, Norfolk has been prone to both flooding and drought. Traditional farming methods have polluted bodies of water and put pressure on the limited water supply, and a steadily growing population has added to the strain. There is no spare water in Norfolk, says Daniel Johns, managing director at Water Resources East, an independent membership organization tasked with safeguarding a sustainable supply of water for eastern England. Too much water is being taken out of the environment. This has meant restrictions on housing, farming, and business, a clear reflection of how a lack of water has become a constraint on economic development in the county. To address this challenge, the Norfolk Water Strategy Program, NWSP, was launched in 2021, bringing together regional water utility company Anglian Water, Norfolk County Council, Water Resources East, and the Nature Conservancy to find ways to reclaim and restore Norfolk's waterways. Their most ambitious plan so far, perhaps, is the creation of the Norfolk Water Fund. This prototype fund is investing philanthropic money to unite downstream water users and upstream communities around a common conservation goal. Investment from public, private, and philanthropic sources will go toward efforts like river restoration, regenerative agricultural practices, and restoring riparian buffers to boost local water quality and quantity. This collective investing addresses the hard truth that without access to good quality water, the ability to run any business, from a coffee shop to a farm, becomes next to impossible. We cannot grow our economy, and we cannot support a healthy environment for people to work, play, and live unless we really tackle water, says Wendy Brooks, the head of environment at the Norfolk County Council. In a lush field in the middle of Norfolk, Donna Dean is wearing some bright orange, high-visibility rain gear. Dean, a river catchment and restoration team lead for a river advocacy group called the Norfolk Rivers Trust, is giving a progress report to a landowner. They are remandering, or rewiggling as some put it, the Yare, a chalk stream that runs through his property. It's one of the Norfolk Water Fund's pilot projects, and it aims to restore meanders and pauses to the river's flow, allowing the Yare to once again support biodiversity as a natural chalk stream would. The rain falls quite determinedly as Dean walks the farmer through their work. It began in 2023 and has, admittedly, been slowed down both by the weather and by some necessary water vole mitigation. The endangered water vole is a protected species in the UK. The river will be bunded here, so that will create a small barrier, Dean says, pointing to a newly dug channel that will allow the stream to reclaim its original path. There are some pools and scrape ponds in the middle, and there'll be a little sub-channel that snakes through. Dean used to be a science teacher, and there is a gentle way about her delivery. She is also an avid birder. She tells the farmer she thinks he now has some oyster catchers nesting on his land. She has also seen four little egrets, plus a sandpiper, and a massive brood of ducklings that, she says confidently, were not mallards. The farmer agrees. He has seen them too. The Yare is one of about 25 chalk streams that run through Norfolk, a gift from the Cretaceous period. The chalk in the underlying aquifer is an alchemist, clarifying and purifying the water, cooling and enriching it with minerals. When chalk rivers are treated correctly, they do not flood because they are sponge-like aquifers. An extraordinary network of underground chalk tributaries and tunnels holds the water and regulates its release. They attract all manners of biodiversity, water voles, mayflies, trout, and the flora is astonishing. Of the mere 250-odd chalk streams in the world, more than three-quarters are located in England. Many are under threat. Far too often, they have been straightened and become, as one farmer described them, glorified drains. The biodiversity within them has been ravaged by pollution. When a chalk stream is straightened and its soil has been depleted, water has nothing to hold it and prevent it from flooding an area before washing away into other rivers and out into the sea. Even the etymology will tell you how these chalk streams are meant to be. Wensum, the name of one chalk stream in Norfolk, is derived from the Old English adjective wansum or wensum, which means wandering. What Dean and her team are trying to do in this misty, rain-soaked field in Norfolk is reclaim the sponge function of the soil and re-wander the stream, restoring it to its original path. It's the type of work they hope to replicate for several chalk streams in the county. If we can fund lots of these kinds of projects across the county, they will make our landscape more resilient both to drought and to floods, says Hannah Gray, Water Resources East Program Manager for Nature-Based Solutions. Instead of relying on concrete flood defenses or building bigger flood walls around our cities, we can have systems like this that give us these benefits and also provide us with all the other things we want, like wildlife, nice places to walk, and biodiversity restored. The restoration of a chalk stream is the epitome of a nature-based solution, a way to tap into nature's innate ability to repair our ecosystem. If you give nature half a chance and bring restored habitats, the species will come, says David Diggins, the president of the Norfolk Rivers Trust. The resulting biodiversity means that a rewandering chalk stream and a restored wetland will, in addition to contributing to better water management, absorb far more carbon dioxide than an open field. Bingo, says Diggins. There's an urgency to this work. Robin Price is the Director of Quality and the Environment at Anglian Water. We are in a biodiversity crisis and a climate crisis, he says, and the way that climate chaos is felt and biodiversity loss is felt first is through water. Traditionally, water companies are quick to build pipes and reservoirs and to use chemicals at water treatment plants to neutralize phosphorus and nitrogen. To Price's mind, this will not wash anymore. Anglian Water plans to be carbon net zero by 2030, and Price says, if we continue to use gray infrastructure as a way to build our way through problems, we are not going to hit our target. Nature-based solutions are good for the bottom line, Price says. Restored rivers hold water within their drainage basin, slowing its flow and giving the aquifers a chance to recharge because rainwater can seep back into them. The alternative, letting water barrel its way to the North Sea and cause flooding as it goes, would mean Anglian Water needs to build a desalination plant to bring it back in. Nature-based solutions sound lovely, Price says, but they also make enormous business sense. Water funds as a concept have been around for decades. The Conservancy pioneered the model 25 years ago in Ecuador and since then has supported the creation of more than 50 similar programs around the world. Each one is different, but they all help water users invest in conserving the ecosystems where their water comes from as a way to address water scarcity for people and protect habitats critical for biodiversity. Today, the Nature Conservancy's Global Resilient Watersheds Program is dedicated to mainstreaming the adoption of these nature-based solutions in the water sector. The Norfolk Water Fund is the first water fund the environmental organization has put its weight behind in Europe. In February 2024, the Nature Conservancy and its coalition partners in the NWSP made their business case. Every dollar invested in nature would see $6.70 in returns on investment through improved water quality and quantity, reclaimed biodiversity, increased carbon in the soil, and an uptick in employment to implement nature-based solutions, not to mention the feasibility for all businesses to be able to operate for the long term. Through this collaborations, says Brooks at the Norfolk County Council, we have been able to create new evidence to demonstrate that it is cost-beneficial to tackle poor water quality and poor water availability by investing in nature-based solutions. Planning has been meticulous. The Nature Conservancy has created opportunity maps, which it intends to make available to potential investors and landowners. These maps will lay out in the best available detail what kind of nature-based solution works where, says Rob Cunningham, a Fort Norfolk native who leads the Resilient Watersheds Program for the Nature Conservancy in Europe. You're trying to identify where in the landscape you can both hold water because you've got a bit of topography and you can create a mini pond, and also where in that landscape there are opportunities for that water to infiltrate into the soil, Cunningham says. These opportunity maps can be used alongside other data to determine what is best for wildlife. Wading birds don't like trees, for example, because their predators hide there, so avoid planting trees on wet grasslands. Increasingly, farmers across Norfolk recognize that current farming practices are untenable, Gray says. They see crops fail due to weather volatility. They lose their fertilizers because depleted soil cannot hold them, and just one rainfall event can wash them into streams and rivers at significant cost to both their pocketbooks and to nature. Agriculture is a key driver of Norfolk's economy, so adapting to alternative ways of farming, working with nature as opposed to against it, will be considered investments worthy of the fund. We view ourselves as an anchor funder, says Price from Anglian Water. The hunt is on to find additional places to invest. The team behind the Wendling Beck Environment Project are ground-truthing many of the fund's principles. Not just ways to increase carbon in the soil or reduce fertilizer runoff, but also how to pay for this work over time and how to show it makes financial sense for farmers like Glenn Anderson. New funding policies put forward by the UK government in the last 2 years are part of this effort. One policy, Biodiversity Net Gain, focuses on all new housing and building development. As of February 2024, every developer in the UK must ensure that they improve the biodiversity of the landscape where they are building by an additional 10%. If this is not possible, they can buy credits at a nearby biodiversity site. The second mechanism, nutrient neutrality, is directed at housing developers. They are obligated to mitigate the wastewater containing phosphorus and nitrogen and emanating from these new sites. If this is not possible on-site, they must buy credits within the same catchment, usually in the form of wetlands or buffer strips along a river's bank. Nature restoration projects like Wendling Beck would supply credits for both programs, offering a new funding stream to landholders. We set out on this path to build both financial and environmental resilience, Anderson says. The last few years have been about the theory of it. Now the results are starting to roll in and have a wider impact. Anderson has become an ambassador of sorts, offering tours of Wendling Beck to interested parties, local authorities, environmentalists, farmers, policymakers, and big business, as well as starting a consultancy with fellow Wendling Beck farmer Alex Begg. Currently, through their consultancy, Anderson and Begg are advising on projects that cover 500,000 acres in East England, many of which could be considered funding through the Norfolk Water Fund. Today, the Norfolk Water Fund has 7 pilot projects across the county ready for an investment of $1.5 million with a plan to scale up to projects covering $30 million in investment over the next 5 years. We are in the foothills of this, says Water Resources East Daniel Johns. There's a lot left to prove, but the interest is there, the impetus is there, and the right people are in place to put forward the solutions. Back at Wendling Beck, Glenn Anderson is behind the steering wheel of the farm Land Rover and is taking a small group on a tour of the land so they can see firsthand what these nature-based solutions look like. How does he feel to have moved completely away from arable farming? It feels good, he says. I've overcome the mental hurdle of not seeing lots of neat, tidy crops, he chuckles. I used to be Mr. Neat and Tidy Farmer, and I could not enjoy the aesthetic of a big, shaggy hedge. Now, when I see a hedge that has been flailed in August, it makes me cringe. My aesthetic perception of the landscape has changed as I've become more educated on just what is good for nature. A few minutes left, not enough time to start another article. We'll look really quickly at this day in history. On February 26th in 1919, the United States Congress established Grand Canyon National Park in northwestern Arizona. In 1928, American singer and pianist Fats Domino, a rhythm and blues standout who became one of the first rock and roll stars, was born. Also on this date, February 26, Grand Teton National Park was established in Wyoming. In 1950, it was expanded to include most of the Jackson Hole National Monument. In 1951, on February 26, American novelist James Jones published From Here to Eternity about the U.S. Army in Hawaii before the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. It was later adapted into an Academy Award-winning film. The World Trade Center in New York City was bombed in an act of terrorism, and Islamic radicals were later convicted for the crime. Also on this date, in 2012, national debates about racism and racial profiling ensued after Trayvon Martin, an unarmed African-American teenager returning from a convenience store in Sanford, Florida, was fatally shot by a neighborhood watch volunteer, George Zimmerman, who later successfully argued that he had acted in self-defense. And finally, on February 26, 1932, Johnny Cash, the Man in Black, was born. That's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining us for the February 26 reading of The Environment. My name is John.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.